Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
My name is Mark Kohler. For all of you newbies that haven't listened to the show before, you're probably thinking, who is this guy that had a few technical problems there? I apologize. We've been doing the show for 5 years plus in different venues, and rarely do we have a technical snafu like this. But welcome. My name is Mark Kohler, a CPA, attorney, entrepreneur, small business owner, and here just living the dream. And I'm so excited to be on the show with you today. I've had the last 2 weeks off. Last week I was at Scouts, which some of you may know what that means. Basically, you're up in the mountains, and I was managing 13 little 12-year-olds, taking them around, earning merit badges, and sleeping under the stars, and getting rained on off and on. And so I was up playing Scoutmaster for a week, and I love the scouting program. So that's where I was at last week, and so thank you, everyone, for listening to Matt Sorensen as he covered the show on the self-directed IRA topic. So anyway, today we've got a great show planned. I'm really excited. We've got Jerry Norton joining us. He is a speaker for the Renatus Education Company. He's an expert. He's been doing real estate deals around the country for, gosh, 7, 8 years, hundreds of deals. I know he's waiting for the day to say thousands, but we're going to have him join us here at the bottom of the hour. He's just amazing, and we're going to be talking about rehabbing property. Now, some of you that are into real estate and have a lot of real estate things going on, great. For those that don't, that's okay. You can learn some things here, and I think all of us look at that little fixer-upper down the street sometimes and think, boy, how would I do that? And we get nervous, and there's pitfalls and things. We're going to be talking about those with Jerry in depth here in a little bit. Now, for those that are new to the show or regular listeners, and I know a lot of people are going to be listening to this being recorded with the summertime busy schedules that are going on and everybody traveling, so you may be listening to this at night as you're returning some emails. Let me make a few announcements quickly. First, I'm doing this is the third year now. I do my fall workshop series. I do 6 workshops around the country. They're just a one-day workshop, under $300. Bring your spouse for free. It's an update, folks. If you've heard me before, you still want to get out there. I bring all the new tax law and new cases that have come down on asset protection and constant changes out there with Obamacare coming down, with the 2014 changes. What do we need to be aware of? That's what my workshop's about. Now, it's not as in-depth as my 2-day that you might get at Renatus or New Wealth Advisors. Those are more in-depth courses. But this is a great 6-hour Saturday. Come out. Very, very affordable. Your kids 17 and under can come for free. And I want to joke about this, but I've got to be careful because I'm going to set some really crazy expectations. But I've got a client that is a professional stand-up comedian, and I'm going to work with him for a day on my presentation. He's like, Mark, you need new material. I'm like, all right. Don't know what I got to do. So I'm going to get a little comedic training. I know it's crazy that you're going to sit there for 6 hours to listen to some boring CPA attorney. And as those that have heard me speak live before, I try to keep it fun. So I'm going to try to do that. So this is going to be a new workshop with lots of new information. Of course, you're going to get the normal, repetitive, important issues to nail down before the end of the year. Setting up your S-Corp, hiring your kids, maximizing your auto, your health care. But what are the new twists and turns? We're going to be going over that. So, here's the 6 locations real quick. New York, Chicago, Sacramento, Seattle, Orange County, and then wrapping it up in Hawaii on December 7th. So for those of you that would like to create a little tax write-off for a December Hawaii trip, come out, do your corporate meeting, spend a day with me, and you could write up a good 4 to 5 days with the weekend travel in the mix for your annual corporate retreat and get a great tax write-off out of it. So think about that. Now, I've got an early bird discount. If you register in the next 15 days, you can go to markjkohler.com, and all the links are there. There's a link on the newsletter today for those that get it. So check it out. Call the office if you have questions. We'll hook you up. But that's a quick little announcement. I've, of course, got my online videos, my monthly webinar series. I'm just trying to get information out there in the most affordable manner and test it out. Everything's 100% satisfaction guaranteed. If you don't like it, give your money back. The team, law firm, accounting firm, amazing team back at the home office doing the heavy lifting on any of the tax and legal work. I just want to give them a shout out too. I'm so grateful to have them. And speaking of the team back at the home office, we've got Lee Chen out of Irvine calling in today with our weekly legal tip. So we got our little legal tip today. And I just got to say, you know, I am so happy to be here. This is like my happy time during the week. It seems like a lot to put together a radio show. It is. But once I get here, I'm so thrilled. And got Lee Chen here. Let me bring him out on the line if I don't screw up another technical issue. Lee, are you there?
I think I can hear you, Mark. I'm here.
Awesome, Lee. Thanks so much. Hey, so what do you got for us this week? A regular, folks have probably introduced you, need to introduce you, him a little bit more. Lee runs our California office. He's our fighter, business planner. He's been an attorney for years, a huge asset to our firm, been with us for, 4 or 5 years now. So anyway, Lee, what do you got for us?
Well, Mark, I want to go a little basic in terms of what we do and just talk about entities. I've been getting quite a few calls in about from people who have maybe set their entity up online or went with one of these Vegas setup companies or went to some sort of seminar and bought some sort of company there. And they come to us, and they're either set up in the wrong state or they're set up with expectations that they're going to get business credit or something like that. And I just wanted to just set a few things straight. This is kind of basic Mark 101, but I think it's kind of helpful because I think even some of our people who have been with us for a long time, they don't fully understand, and they can kind of get led astray sometimes by all the mush that's out there in terms of the marketplace. So,
no, I think that's a great point, Lee. And it's funny, folks, I had a client call me yesterday and say, hey, Mark, can you get your Dun & Bradstreet registration done for your company? Because I want to list you as a credit line and help build my own corporate credit. And I was like, all right. And he was like, why haven't you registered that? And I go, well, you know, I'm just not a big corporate credit believer, but you know what, I'll get it done. And so I made a promise to my client that we get our Dun & Bradstreet registration done for KKLawyers and K&E. But again, that's another little thing. And does corporate credit work? It does. And it takes a lot of work. And my folks out in Chicago, Bob Tierney's been on the show, a huge wealth of knowledge on corporate credit. I know he's doing it right. And it's hard to find a support structure to do it right. And so I want to give a shout out to Bob, but it's still, for the most of us, it is kind of a red herring. People set up entities with false expectations. So anyway, go ahead, Lee. Tell us 2 or 3 things we should look out for. I think that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, well, one of the things is I see a lot of people setting it up in the wrong state. And, you know, with some of these corporate credit, you know, some people, they buy shelf corporations. I had one client who was on the East Coast and bought a shelf corporation in Montana. And I thought, well, are you going to be doing some business in Montana, cattle ranchers? No, I have no plans to do anything in Montana. And so it's those type of calls where I say, well, we might need to change what you're doing because, I mean, generally what we say is you want your entity set up where you're doing business or, you know, if you're owning property, where the property is located. And that's, you know, very basic Mark 101, but we see people who – aren't doing that, and the cost to fix that can be pretty expensive, you know, depending on your situation. I had one client who called me. He has a deal. He's about to buy property, and you know, in Illinois, and he's about ready to close the deal. And escrow says, "Well, why are you incorporated in Nevada? And you're suspended. Why we can't close your deal if you're incorporated and suspended in Nevada? Let's fix that." And so we call the Nevada Secretary of State. he owes 2 years of business license fees and entity fees. It's up to about $2,000. And those are
Oh,
the
too
types of
bad.
things. Yeah, those are the type of things that I want to try to get people, whether you're new to the show or whether you've been with us for a while. Be careful when you are setting up your entity or you're buying an entity from somebody. Make sure that you're doing it the right way because the cost to fix it sometimes is more than just setting up a new entity. So just make sure you're doing it the right way.
I like it. And let's talk technically here for a minute. For those out there that are savvy investors and small business owners that have been doing this for many, many years, you're saying, Mark, come on, Lee, give me something new. Let me throw this out as a really important strategy for those that have built up a little wealth. Maybe you have a few rental properties. You got various notes or different assets you're trying to protect and you're investing. Let me make a suggestion. Lee and I do this every week. We set up multi-entity structures where we would set up a holding company in Nevada or Wyoming. We love the single-member LLC out of Wyoming that then owns all your other LLCs in other states. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, you get some phenomenal asset protection. But it's an extra cost, an extra little headache, and we don't want to do it for everybody that's just starting out of the gate. But for those of you that have built up multiple LLCs and multiple rentals, and if you got in a car accident tomorrow, can they come after you? Could we do some extra, excuse me, some extra asset protection? That's where setting up in Nevada or Wyoming could be a great idea. So we're not shooting it down all the time. It's just for the brand new investor where it can be, again, a red herring and a big costly mistake. So asset protection still works. It's still alive and well, right, Lee? I mean, what would you add?
Absolutely, and that's a great point. And that's why I'm suggesting that talk with someone who's an expert, who an attorney or someone who's licensed, and tell them what you want to do. For us, we try to create a structure that works for you depending on what you're doing. And so we don't have a one-size-fits-all approach. We look at what you're doing, and we'll recommend something appropriate to that situation. So it's different for every individual.
It is. Well, and it's fine. And Lee, thank you so much. I'll make a couple other comments. I know you've got to run, and it's a huge commitment of yours to jump on the show every other month, and we appreciate it. Thank you, Lee. And folks, if you need to get a hold of Lee and do a little entity structuring around the country, you can reach him at Lee, Lee, at kkoslawyers.com. So, Lee, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mark. Good to be on the show again.
You're awesome. I was going to mention the word DAP, Domestic Asset Protection Trust. Let's get a little more technical here, too, again, for some of you that are more seasoned investors. We've had several clients, and I've got a phone call that I need to make today on this, using the DAP, Domestic Asset Protection Trust. Now, I'll say this generally. We love the DAP to protect your personal residence if you have a lot of equity in a home or a cabin or a beach house, kind of a second home scenario. But we have also set up these DAP trusts, they're irrevocable trusts, to own your LLCs. And what's nice about these DAPs is there's no extra tax return, there's no tax consequence. They are a spendthrift type trust that gives you outside protection if you were to get into a lawsuit or a car accident or something like that. And we've got more and more clients calling us about them. Now, I shot a little YouTube video. You saw it maybe on one of the newsletters in the last 2 or 3 weeks, months. It's also on my YouTube channel. If you just go to YouTube and type Mark J. Kohler, you'll get the channel. I upload 2 to 3 videos a week. So you'll want to check that little spill on DAPs. Now, I've got a whole lengthy video on my CFO in a Box videos on DAPs that you may want to subscribe to. But now let's for the tax tip. Folks, I hate to say this, but you're stuck with me for the tax tip. I want to give a little tax piece of advice here, and then we're going to get to our special guest, Jerry Norton. If you've just joined us, today's show is going to be on rehabbing and getting that little rental property flipped or real estate project flipped before year end and making some extra cash. And we're going to talk to an expert on that here in just a moment. So before we get there, though, this little tax tip I'd like to give. I have a a wonderful client that just sent me an email here this morning, right after my newsletter went out, and I want to just highlight that. I was going to mention his name, but I won't do that. So he didn't say bring it out live on the show, so I won't do that. But essentially, his question was, Mark, I shot a little video of how to put more money in your IRA LLC. So let's say some of you out there have created a 401k or an IRA or a SEP or even a health savings account, and you've created an LLC. And it's that time of year where you want to make a contribution to your IRA. Well, you already have an IRA LLC, and that's where you ultimately want your money to go. Can you just put the money in your IRA LLC directly? The answer is no. Don't do that. You won't get the tax deduction. So what you would do is, in this email I got from this client this morning, I told him, transfer the $5,000 to your custodian, get the tax deduction for making a contribution to your IRA, then ask your custodian to transfer that to your IRA LLC. Now, in my video that you can see there on the newsletter, I mentioned that if it's a single-member LLC, meaning it's owned 100% by your IRA, then the IRA can just transfer the money right over, and 99% of the custodians aren't going to have a problem with that. But if you have a multi-member LLC and you want to contribute money from your IRA, that can be challenging, to say the least. It needs to be a pro rata contribution. And I'll say generally, our law firm does not recommend you do that. We think it's an audit risk, and we'd like you to stay away from that. But for those of you out there that have single-member LLCs, you make the contribution to your IRA first, then transfer the money to your LLC. Now, Matt may have covered that last week in his radio show where I didn't get a chance to listen to it yet. I just got back from Scout Camp, like I said, a couple days ago, and I'm still catching up. But for those that had that burning question, it's on my YouTube video that I just posted as well. So hope you get a chance to watch that. Let me see over in the chat line if we had a little comment or two, and it looks like we're flying high here, so we're good to go. I'm trying to do a little too much maybe here technically, but we'll give it a shot. So I want to bring out Jerry Norton. Jerry is the co-owner of the international real estate investment training company called Mentor Financial Group. He owns two real estate brokerages. And from 2004, just digging holes in construction, he became a full-time real estate investor and self-made millionaire. He specializes in buying, fixing, and selling houses and commercial properties. And just in the past few years, Jerry has fixed and flipped over 200 properties across the country. So he teaches clients all around the country. He is a professor for Renatus Education System, which is phenomenal. If those of you that have not done some good real estate online education, it's extremely affordable. Send me an email and I'll get you some information on that. I speak for Renatus as well. Jerry, excited to have him here with us. And Jerry, I was going to play a little AC/DC, but let me see if I got it right here. See, I got it up here, so. Yeah, it's not going to happen. I'm going to turn that off. So, Jerry, welcome to the show.
All right. Thanks for having me, Mark. I'm glad to be here.
You bet. Now, I was going to play for those about to rock, "We Salute You," and it was going to be really cool. So right when I said, "Jerry, welcome to the show, we salute you." So, maybe my singing there covered for that. But, again, I've had way too many technical difficulties today. So, Jerry, thank you for coming on the show.
It's great to be here, Mark, and it's great to talk to you. It's been a little while since you and I have spoken, so it's great to catch up, too.
Yeah, no, I remember sitting in the room, at the back of the room, learning from you, and was just mesmerized with your amount of knowledge on rehabbing, real estate, fixing and flipping, for lack of a better word, and it just blew my mind. So I've always been a fan.
Well, thank you.
I followed you, of course. But so it's good to finally have you on the show. Jerry, now tell me, where do you reside right now? I know you just made a huge RV trip around the country with your family, but where did you end up stopping after you turned off the engine?
Well, we're still on our trip, but we've kind of identified where we're going to end up. So we Yeah, we sold. I'm from Michigan, and we sold our home, and we took our family on an RV trip. We've been on that trip now for 7 months. We're actually back in Michigan visiting some family, but yeah, we're going to settle down in Alpine, Utah. So we're
really?
We're excited about that. Yeah, yeah. We actually, when we went on our trip, we went kind of all over the place, and we said, you know what? We want to relocate. We want to move from Michigan. It's been great, but let's go find the next place. And so we kind of went with, you know, we had some other goals, but one of the goals was to find where we wanted to relocate. And we went to Alpine. We just fell in love with the area, the mountains, and we've got a lot of family out that way. And so we're pretty excited about it.
Well, that is awesome. That's a testament to Alpine, Utah. Folks, if you don't know Alpine, Utah, it's I'd say it's probably 45 minutes south of Salt Lake City, embedded right below Mount Timpanogos. What's funny about it is if you've probably been on Main Street there, did you see the Kohler grocery store? Did you see that down there in Alpine? That's the Kohler family, baby, right there. My grandpa, years ago, probably 70 years ago, started Kohler Grocery over in Midway. And then he sold out, and now it's, you know, it's a derivative of the Kohler family. I don't get any money for every loaf of bread you buy. But anyway, that's, you know, part of heritage there, baby. Just want to throw that out.
Oh, that's cool.
So anyway, well, Alpine, Utah. Well, congratulations. I'm glad you found a spot. Now, let's dive right into this. We don't have a lot of time with our show, and I don't want to let our listeners down. And Jerry, I know one of the questions that I get constantly is people that are just nervous to try to do any sort of fix and flip because they're afraid of the mistakes they might make. Jerry, I know it's even hard to find a deal. You know, I'm just going to throw that out right off the bat. When people think of flipping a property and selling a home, maybe tell us just a couple of the big pitfalls or mistakes you see people make right off the bat. Is that okay if I throw out
sure.
such a big question?
Yeah. In fact, that's a really good one because, you know, if you go into a deal and you mess up on the numbers, right, and you don't have the margins you think you have, then, yeah, that can be a bad experience, and that's no fun. So, like, my biggest thing, Mark, is that you've got to go into every deal with a really healthy profit margin. And I see so many guys, especially new, go in with these little bitty margins. You know, I'm going to make $5,000 or $10,000 on this deal. And that is just way too skinny. There's too many unforeseens that may happen. You know, go over on the rehab budget or it doesn't sell for what as much as you wanted. And then you're losing money. So, you know, I try to really stick with some really strong margins. And what's great is if you do that, obviously, you know, it's a little tougher to get deals because you have to buy them for less, right? But when you do that deal and you've got the right margins in there, then even if you mess up, even if you're off on your rehab and you don't sell it for what you think, you still come out on top. And that's kind of my goal with all my deals is I want to make it so that if I totally screwed up, I'm still going to make money.
Now, I think what a lot of people think, and I would could maybe fall into this problem, is that they go, well, even if I don't make a lot of money, at least it's going to be a great experience. And, you know, I can use that experience for my next deal. Is that logic work, or should we just...
That's very flawed logic, because you can, you know, you're going to get experience making money, too, because you're going to make mistakes. There's no way around it. You've got to go through a little bit of a learning curve. Hopefully you can... I know you're big on this. You get the right kind of education. Make sure you're following a mentor who's been successful, and try to avoid a lot of those pitfalls. I know for me, Mark, my biggest regret when I got started was that I didn't have a mentor or somebody that I could follow that had been there and done that. And so I had to learn a lot of tough lessons the hard way. And you know, I think I probably lost several hundred thousand dollars that I could have avoided had I learned some of that beforehand. But there is something to be said for just getting out there and getting in the trenches and doing a deal and learning as you go. But shoot, cut your teeth off on a deal that's got good margins. And they're out there. I mean, they're out there. It's, you know, and I hope we have some time we can talk about that. But the key is go into every deal with really healthy margins. My goal is to have a 20% profit margin on every deal. And I stay out of low-end stuff, so most of my deals are up in the $500,000-$600,000 sale price range. So, you know, I've got a good $100,000, $125,000 on most deals profit margin. So, you know, that gives me plenty of room to where if I'm off somewhere, I'm still coming out really good.
Wow. Well, I just was going to bring up that question. I had a text from one of our listeners here that said, so what are those margins? And you said a 20% margin. But I know that it's taken you years. You've been doing this for 8 to 9 years now through the ups and downs of this last turnaround. But when you were just getting started, I suspect you weren't doing $500,000 deals.
No, you're right. I started out with, you know, $150,000 cookie cutter, you know, 1,000 square foot, 3-bedroom, 2-bath bungalows in Michigan. And, you know, I got that model down, and it's like I could do those things in my sleep. It worked really well. But, I had to learn a really big lesson I learned in the first couple of years, Mark, was I kept thinking, you know, bigger is better, you know, volume, do lots and lots of deals. And in the past couple of years, I've kind of changed that mindset completely where now I'm looking for, you know, better spreads, fewer deals. And my lifestyle's been so much better since then. Because if you think about it, a little $150,000 house, you're buying it for $70,000, you're putting $30,000 into it, you're selling it for $150,000, you know, after your cost and so on, you might pull out $25,000 or $30,000 maybe on a deal like that. Well, what I've learned is it's just as much work to do that little deal as it is to do a $500,000 house. It's just as much work. You got to still organize contractors, the rehab, still got to sell it. It's all the same. It's just a little more capital, but it's all the same process. And
well,
so I'd rather make 3 or 4 times as much with the same amount of work.
Well, I think that's what people would say, is they'd say, well, yeah, but you've built up this reserve or some sort of capital that allows you to pick and choose more. And how, when you got started, and for those newbies out there, where do they find the capital for a $100,000 deal? Or what are some capital strategies that you've used or taught in the past?
Sure. And that's a big thing. Whenever you're flipping houses, it is capital intensive. You've got to have capital to buy it. You've got to have capital to renovate it. And then you've got that holding, you know, that capital is out there until you sell it and you get the big paycheck, right? So it is a little bit of a roller coaster model if you're not careful, where I see a lot of what I call onesie-twosie investors do is they focus all of their attention on finding, then they find a deal, and then all of their attention goes into managing that, renovating it, and then all of their attention goes into the sale process of getting it sold. And if that's a 4 or 5 month process, then at most you're going to do 1 or 2 or 3 deals a year, and that's it. And the key is to have all those areas simultaneously working. So for me, if I'm not in a finding mode, then I know my pipeline's going to dry up, you know, 4 or 5 months down the road, because I've got to continually have new deals because they're all in different phases, right? So, you know, that's the first thing, is treat it like a business. I tell everybody that I work with, my students and the people that I work with, you know, you've got to run this like a business. It's not a hobby or a part-time thing. Even if you are part-time, treat it like a business and always be working on all 4 stages of finding, managing, selling, and closing. And so that's key. And then going back to your question there about capital, Mark, yeah, here's what I did. When I first got started, I didn't have any capital. And I sat down with somebody that I thought had money, and I said, look, here's the deal. I've got this deal. I already had a deal. I got this deal. Here it is. Here's the numbers. Here's my rehab, what it's going to cost. Here's quotes. And I had all this detail put together. And here's what I can sell it for, and here's how much it should make. And I'll tell you what, if you give me the money to do this, then I'll split my profit with you, 50-50. And so basically an equity partner, right? And he took a look at everything, and he said, you know what, Jerry, I'll give it a shot. Let's do it. And it was around $100,000 in capital to do this deal, and I hit the numbers pretty close. And then it was about a 4 month turnaround, and he got it netted out about $30,000, so he got a $15,000 check. And then the next question was, when can we do another one? And so, Mark, what I did is, in the course of a year, I got 10 people with about $100,000. Some of it was IRA money, some of it was people's, you know, whatever, personal money. And I went into my business with this 50-50 split on deals, and it didn't take long. I mean, if you've got all your stuff together and you can show somebody, here's a deal, There are people that are eager to invest and make more than they can elsewhere in the stock market or whatever. So that's kind of how I started. And then since then, I transitioned into more of a debt split where it was just straight interest and maybe some points. And then I've just continued to build up. But look, I'm no different than anybody else. I wasn't born with a silver spoon. I had to start from ground zero, and I had to start talking to people and get out there and just start doing it. And what's great about flipping houses is, you know, it's you can get up and going and have a pretty good business going with that in no time. It doesn't need to be this, you know, 10-year process. It can be a pretty quick thing.
Yeah, I agree on that point. It doesn't have to be. It can happen quickly with these types of deals, and you can see an impact in your personal life and your personal finances right away. Now,
yeah.
One thing, phenomenal comments. I want to just, as the lawyer, giving a little dialogue here, and I know, Jerry, you and I have talked about this before, and you're a huge advocate of when you're doing these deals with people and they're a 50-50 split or however you structure it, a JV agreement is a bare minimum, but having a simple LLC with these different relationships, I think it's very important. And I know you were in Michigan,
sure,
where it's very affordable to do that. And you would
say,
oh,
yeah. I'm a big believer in LLCs. Yep.
Yeah. And I know in some states out there, we have listeners where setting up an LLC for every relationship or deal can be very expensive. There's five
to six
states. Yeah,
especially California, where you're at.
Yes. Oh, yeah, it's brutal. But again, rehab, $100,000 rehab in California is going to be fairly unique too. It's such a high value market.
Can you even buy like a doghouse for $100,000 there?
No, I don't. The
garage,
crazy.
Maybe.
That's crazy. You buy a garage. Okay, but here's a question I got via text here from one of our listeners here. And I apologize, some of you listeners out there, how are you getting texts on this? I have some listeners that have been able to snag my cell phone over the years, and so they're able to send me a text during the show. But yeah, folks, if you have a question, you can give us a call on the main number, of course, that's listed there in the newsletter or on the blog talk post, or type in the chat line if you have a question for Jerry here. Folks, if you joined us just moments ago, we're here with Jerry Norton, fix and flip rehab expert and educator around the country. Well, of course, here in a bit, we'll get some information on how you can get more of Jerry if you want it. Now, Jerry, one of my questions that I kind of just get from this text I just got was, this doesn't have to be a full-time job, right? I mean, let's say I've got a day job. I'm a pharmacist, I'm an engineer, a dentist, an architect, a realtor, or whatever. And say I want to do just two or three rehabs a year. Is that,
sure,
you said treat it like a business, but does it mean it has to be my full-time business?
Yeah, and that's a great question. My intent when I got started was to make it that, was to become full-time into real estate. But I get it. Some people either don't, or maybe they want to start out slow and see how it goes or whatever. The key to that, I think, Mark, is you've got to have just a dynamite team, because you're going to be relying on a lot of people to do the lifting for you. So, you know, that means realtors and contractors, you know, all those are the main ones that are going to really, that you can rely on, because if you're not able to give it a lot of attention, and you've got to have those right team players doing that for you. And realtors are a big one. I am such a big believer in using realtors. And I'm a broker. I've got a couple brokerages, so I get the realtor game and what, you know, how hard they work. And I respect realtors. And right now, since I've expanded to do deals outside of my home market and do them, you know, all over the country, then I really rely on putting together a good team on the ground that can manage that for me. And I rely on the realtors, their input on, and I look for the top people that do it. I look for the top contractors, the top realtors in that market, and I want them on my team. And so I believe you
don't
act as your own, do it, Mark.
Yeah, you don't act as your own contractor on all your deals. I know back in the day when I would see your presentations, you had your own contracting crew that you would just rotate amongst your pool of,
right,
finding, managing, right. But what do you do now? Is that still the case?
No. So for example, right now I've got two new deals started, one in Philadelphia, one in Charlotte, North Carolina. And these are both, by the way, what I do now is my student base, if they find deals, I've got capital ready to go, and I want to do deals outside of Michigan, where I'm from, and that market I know. So the deal I have is if someone finds a deal that fits my criteria, I'll pay them $10,000 to find that deal for me. And it's allowed me to now get into all these other markets that I wouldn't otherwise be able to. And so these two deals I've got right now, these are fairly big deals. They're both of them are about the same numbers, 200 on the buy and 200 on the renovation. So these are complete, I mean, pretty much almost new builds, right down to the studs, both of them. In fact, one we're going to add another 1,000 square feet to it. And what I've done on both of those projects is I've gone out to the property one time, and during that one day, and over the course of that one day there, I met with seven or, you know, probably four or five realtors and three or four different contractors, basically interviewed them, and by the end of the day, picked who I wanted to manage that whole project. So, and then it's all long distance from there. I don't go back at all. I set up the right team. Now, I've got to manage them properly long distance, but I look at it kind of the same as somebody working part-time that's got a job or whatever. If you put the right team in place, then, you know, those people can take it and run with it.
Wow, it seems now let me be so bold as to say this, because I know there's got to be some listeners out there that are saying, you know, I don't have the time, the money, the resources to operate at the Jerry Norton level. So that's really cool what he's doing, 200K down, 200K repairs, and those numbers have lots of zeros, and you know how to find the right team, and you can. What tips would you have for maybe the novice out there that's saying, you know, think back to little Jerry 8 years ago when you were out there, you know, hitting
sure.
the pavement. What would be some tips you'd give for that novice?
Okay, so here's what I do is when you're looking at a market, so first thing you want to do is identify a market that you want to focus on. This is step one. Pick your area. And I'm a big believer in the $300,000 to $600,000 price range. Now, I know that can be capital intensive if you're new, because it's like, okay, where am I going to get the capital? But I love that price range at $300,000 to $600,000. It gets out of FHA in most of your markets. It's conventional buyers, 20% down, dual income. It's in that price range is like you're not in the luxury homes yet. You're out of the, you know, starter homes. It's just, and the margins are great. Profit margins are awesome there. It's less competitive because you have fewer, you know, when you go into the $150,000 range, Mark, everybody's in that price range. It is so competitive because somebody can come up with, you know, $80,000 to get into a deal or whatever. You get up the next notch up, and you get rid of 80% of the competition. And so finding capital is just, you know, that's the least hard part is finding capital. Go into the good areas. If you get a good deal, finding the money is easy. Call me if you find a good deal at that price range. You know, so first thing is pick an area that's got $300,000 to $600,000 retail sale homes, right? So good area. Second thing is find a go-getter realtor that can find the deals and make the offers. I don't do any of that. I don't do the scouting and all the hard work. I let the realtor do that. And here's what I do. This is really awesome, and it's so simple to do. I go on Zillow. If you go on Zillow.com, and for your listeners that might not know what that is, it's a real estate website. It's kind of like Realtor.com or Trulia. It's one of the big, I'd say, the top five real estate websites for finding homes. And they have a feature on there called Find a Pro. You click on Find a Pro, and then you click on Buyer's Agent. Buyer's Agent's going to be someone working with you to find a deal. And then you type in your area. So you type in, you know, Charlotte, North Carolina, or whatever market you're working in, and it will pull you up a list of thousands of realtors in that market, and it has their reviews. I look at two things. It's got reviews, and it's got number of listings, and those are big keys for me. So if someone's got 59 reviews and they're all five-star, and obviously they've got a name in that market, and if they've got, you know, 27 listings, that's a player. That's a go-getter. So I look for someone that's got lots of listings and really good reviews. And then there's a feature on there that says email. I just click the email. I send them a message and say, I'm looking for deals. Here's my criteria. Here's my buy formula. I'll get you over whatever you need to start making offers. Go find me a deal and let me know. And so very quickly, I get lots of realtors out there scouting, finding deals that fit what I'm looking for. And I hope those are some good tips there, Mark. But that's the key. Get some realtors, and sometimes I'll get multiple realtors looking for deals for me.
No, I love it. I love it. This is great. Now, where are you? Now, this is finding the capital. We've alluded to it a little bit here. Let's maybe, I love that I was going to ask a moment ago, how do you find the deals? And you just explained that perfectly. Let's talk about finding the money for just a moment. And I know you do a lot of this coaching, and maybe this is a good time to just bring it up so that people know that it's out there, is through your Mentor Financial Group. You've got this training out there so that people feel like they can get some hand-holding. Why don't you take just 1 minute and tell us about that real quick?
Yeah, I've been very fortunate to where in the beginning, and I can share a couple tips of how I started raising capital and some things I did, but now what's awesome, Mark, is that through my training company, people just come forward and they say, I've got capital, and I pay my investors very well. I mean, typically 12, 15% interest. Interest-only payments on deals. And this is secured first lien position. I've got really good margins. These are really good deals to invest in. So people come forward and say, I've got capital. And it's awesome because I don't have to, like, go solicit it or, do any kind of special private placements or anything like that. It's just individuals come forward. And that makes it really nice. When I got started, though, I made it a goal that once a week I would sit down for lunch with somebody that I thought had money that I could talk to and basically pitch my rehab program to. And I met with, surprisingly, Mark, I found a lot of success with CPAs like yourself because they have high-end business clients. And I would sit down with them and I'd say, here's what I'm doing. And they would say, you know what, I think I have a client that might want to talk to you. And then they would just refer somebody over, they didn't usually ask for a commission or any kind of, they just wanted to provide a service to their client because they knew they had a client that had capital that wasn't sure where to put it. And so I found CPAs really effective. Just somebody that I thought might want to listen. I have a lot of IRA investors and that's great. And I've learned a lot about how the IRA game works just through working with investors on deals. And so there's a lot of that out there. And if you think about it, 10 people with $100,000 in their IRA, Mark, that's not hard to find. They're out there.
Yeah. Well, and this is where I, as an attorney, I want all my clients listening out there, this is very, very common for me that I have a real estate investor. Let's say someone like Jerry, that has found 2 to 3 parties that are interested in a project, and we'll do a conference call, design the LLC, email it around, everybody signs it, we open a bank account.
Operating agreement.
You're off and running. Yeah, boom.
Yeah.
One week, two weeks later, you're off and running. You got money in the bank, you make your offer, and you're going. And so I like what you said, too, about just going to lunch with people. There's a great book out there, and I haven't been able to get this author on my show. He's been hard to track down. But it's titled Never Eat Alone. And yeah. I've said this so many times to clients that are just starting their business projects that if you find yourself in a parking lot eating Wendy's listening to NPR, that's not the best use of your time. Take someone. And I've done it. That's probably me once or twice a week. But I like how you said once a week you wanted to at least take someone to lunch that might have money. And, folks, when you're getting started, a lot of people enjoy a free lunch. And if you're saying, I've got some projects I want to talk to you about, and these people don't feel pushed, but they just feel like you're presenting your project, your plan, your product, and you can buy them a quick burger somewhere. Never eat alone. I think get out and talk to people, tell them what you're doing. And I guess, Jerry, if you're on Zillow having all these realtors find you deals, you're going to have plenty to talk about.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah. That was weird. You muted just for a second, but I think you're fine.
Oh, sorry. But you're going to have plenty to talk about if you've got all these Zillow realtors out there finding deals for you. So that'll give you plenty to talk about at lunch.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Mark, is just get out there and talk to people. It's amazing what, so many people are just afraid to get out there and really, you know, when I come into town in a market, I'm like a bull in a china shop. I want, it's crazy because on my last project I went out to in New Jersey, Mark, I had so many people lined up that the cops showed up and said, what is going on? There's cars up and down the street. There's people everywhere. The neighbors called the cops. What are you guys doing here? And it's just because I want to talk to people. I want to find out all about this market. And by the end of the day, I had one of these realtors say, you know what, I've got this deal. It was a short sale. The investor that it took about a year to get done, and the investor went and bought something else, and here it is in my lap. You know, are you interested? And, you know, that wouldn't have happened had I not been so bold as to just get out and start talking to lots of people. And I've just never shied away from that, and it's paid huge for me to just talk, let people know, hey, here's what I do, and here's what I'm looking for, and, you know, put your name out there.
I love it. I love it. Fantastic advice. So I think we got distracted there, so I'll ask you a moment here, too. Where do people get this mentoring with your group? How do they get involved?
So since we're talking about rehabbing, I've got a program, Mark, right now that I think, and this is really great for somebody that's, you know, either want to go faster or looking to get started, and it's just that first paycheck. What I found is when someone can get their first check in real estate, that kind of like sets the stage to then get their second and third. And it's just that first one seems to be always the hardest. It was for me anyway, and I think for a lot of people. And so what we've done is my partner Peter Conti and I, we've set up a platform where anywhere in the U.S., as long as it fits our parameters of, we'll actually go from 100,000 up to 600,000 price range. If you can find a deal and bring that deal to us and it fits our numbers, so we have our, you know, our formula that we look for to buy, then we'll buy that property and we'll pay you $10,000 for it. And so it's very, very exciting for someone to get out there and have a buyer like ready to go that they can go find a deal for. And so we've got a webinar that kind of talks all about how that works. And if you'd like, I can just give that URL real quick and you can check that out.
Sure, sure.
It's called quickflipmoneymachine.com. And you can register for the webinar and watch that. I think we've got one coming up soon. And so that's a great way to get started. I would say that's probably the most exciting thing I've got going that people could get involved with me right now. And, you know, it's really working out well. We've kind of gone through all the testing phase of it. And so what happens is once you've got a deal, we've got a portal where you can upload all the information and then we review it. And then we'll close on it and pay $10,000. So, and it's allowed, like I said, it's allowed me to get into more than just my hometown market and do deals all over.
Well, and then I suspect you pay them $10,000, but they also get to participate in the process. I mean, that's the mentoring.
That's right. Yeah, and we've got training. So when you come in that program, we've got training. We got lots of training, and all about, you know, fixing and flipping. I mean, my goal is that someone comes in, maybe they get their first check, maybe they want to do a couple or whatever. But my intent is to teach them how to do it so that they can do it all on their own, get their own capital and go out and do it on their own. And we have some people that want to do that and some that just want the checks and are perfectly fine just basically wholesaling. And that's fine too. So, but yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, I love it. It's just phenomenal. Now, maybe tell us, of one of your success stories. Give us, and I had another text here from a person asking, what are the hot markets that you like? What do you look for in a market? You said earlier, find your market and then get on Zillow and get going as an example. But maybe
sure.
Let's go to that real quick. What are some markets you like right now?
Well, we've done very well. We've got one student that we've done now four or five deals. His name's Doug Kine out in Seattle, and that market is on fire. So we've done really well in Seattle. And again, around the 500 to 600 price range is where we seem to do really well. We've got one in Sammamish, which is a little town outside of Seattle there. And so Seattle's been good. We've done some deals in Chicago that have done really well. And again, so I don't just say we're only looking for this market or that market. What's great is that if it's 300 to 600,000 average price range, then right now everywhere I'm seeing that type of market seems to be doing really well at that price range in most markets. So One of the things that I do look at, Mark, is comps and days on market. So, for example, I want to see that there's good sales activity. If I can't find, you know, four or five good comps that are 90 days old, sold comps, so comparable sales to the subject property, you know, within a half a mile or a mile, 90 days old, then to me that market's not moving fast enough. It's too slow. So that wouldn't be an ideal market. So that's something to look at, is how much sales activity is going on in that market. One of the big things is when I look at the deal, I want to make sure that I understand the numbers of what I can sell it for. But what's great is I'll look at anything in the U.S. if it's in those parameters, and if I can just make sure that it's active enough market to flip in,
well,
then I'm all over it.
I like this. And so I'm going to summarize here in some ways is that for the listener today that's wanting to do their own rehab down the street and want, you know, $80,000 to $150,000 range, it's going to be dog-eat-dog. You got to be probably ready to buy with cash. You got to be able to move quick, and you better have your numbers rock solid on your rehab because your margins are going to be thin. I mean, it's a fair statement, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and the truth is, Mark, I don't do a whole lot of the, like, carpet and paint type deals because I have healthy margins. There's always somebody at those lower levels that is willing to take much less of a margin, and they're usually new people that don't know and haven't lost money yet, or
yeah.
And they take
yeah.
a smaller
like,
margin.
Hey, you want...
yeah, I can't compete with them. I can't compete with the guy wanting to make $5,000 on a flip. You know, it's just let them.
No, I hear you.
And there's always a new guy that'll do that. It's like it's a never ending thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, and let me summarize here quickly. We're almost out of time, so I want to say, but if you do see some deals in that price range, 300 to 600, you can make $10,000, get some mentoring, get involved with Jerry's program. I love it. And, Jerry, I've learned a lot today. I really, really appreciate your time and coming on the show. And once again, what's that URL that you'd like people
it's,
to go to if they find you?
Yep, it's quickflipmoneymachine.com, and they can register for a webinar and get a lot more details about how that program works and if they want to get involved in that. And Mark, just real quick, you asked for a success story. The coolest story that we had recently was a brand new investor. What's her name? Out of Arizona.
You know, Jerry,
oh,
we've got to sign you off here, too.
Okay.
I'm going to have to cut you off and say thanks for being on the show. And,
no problem.
Folks, thanks for listening. And Jerry, we'll have you back. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, everybody. It's great being here.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.